do. When we go to our verses this morning, you'll laugh at the scripture we'll be reading. If you want to go ahead and turn, we'll be in 1 John chapter 4. That'll be kind of our main idea text to get us into the message this morning. But I want to thank God for the Holy Spirit being in this place. Mom, you said it perfect. It's sweet in here. Thankful. Thank you, Brother Brent, for requesting that song. I kind of need to get everything together since I was about to get up here. I need to get my Bible and my notes and look down. My notebook was in the Sunday school room, so I wouldn't have been able to get up here and preach. So I'm thankful for that song. That way Holly went and got it for me. And it wouldn't have been a mess when I got up here and started freaking out. So I want to thank God for the Spirit for that song. And y'all may think that's crazy, but that's God. And I'm thankful for that. The title this morning is What Loving God Will Do For You. I'm thankful that this morning, loving God is a privilege in the house of God. We can come, we can worship the Lord, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we're going to read this scripture, we're going to pray, and then we'll kind of dive into where we're supposed to be. But what loving God will do for you. I'd ask you to stand this morning as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Just this short text, and then we'll pray. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." Let's pray. Father, thank You that You just work it all out. I thank You that You're in the house this morning as unworthy, unprivileged. Father, we're nothing without You, and I thank God for that. I pray that You would put Your hand upon us this morning. I pray You would just speak through me. Lord, I just want to be that glove and just let the hand do the work. And we'll praise You, Father. Thank You for this time. I pray You'd bless every person in this room. And I pray, God, that they would hear what You'd want them to hear. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and turn to Romans 8:28. That was kind of our main idea passage to get us into the topic, what loving God will do for you. I'm thankful this morning that when we come to the house of God, we can worship God not out of have to, but out of love. There's a difference, and you know that just as much as I do, that you can worship God because you have to, and you can also worship God because He loves you. And that we can love Him because He first loved us. And in this scripture that we're going to read, we'll be in Romans. We'll also be in the book of James chapter 2. We'll also be in John 14 if you kind of want to keep that in your head. But I want to look at what loving God will do for you. The first thing this morning, as a believer, and I'm speaking to a believer this morning, loving God will benefit you for the good. You know, if I love God the way I ought to, the Bible says I should love Him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength. If I love God the way I'm supposed to, all things will work together for my good. And if you don't believe that, let's read the text. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Loving God, not only will it will benefit you for the good. We talked about this scripture in Sunday school this morning, how all things will work together for our good. And I'm when I read this, I'm thinking, you know, sometimes we forget that all things will work together in small things. We talk about the big things a lot, but I'm thankful in the small things, and I mean things like everyday conversation, every decision we have to make, every choice that we face in everyday life, day in and day out. The Lord says all things will work together to them that love God. Loving God is a benefit this morning. And you may have walked in here with some kind of burden, some kind of stress. I know it's the Christmas season. We ought to be thankful. But there's sometimes in life in this time of year just gets hectic. It gets busy. It gets to a point where sometimes we're not able to do it on our own. And the Bible tells me that even in those times where it's not always good, and here's what the point I'm trying to make, it's not always good, but it works out for my good. Does that make sense? Sometimes life is a struggle, it's a battle, and I'm thankful that because God loves me, and I ought to love Him. The Bible tells me all things work together for my good. Not only small things, and we think of big things as well, things like doctor's reports. In those moments in time, you got to have God. If you don't have God, there's no hope. Without the Lord Jesus Christ saving you and forgiving you, there's no hope. And in those times, in those big decisions, maybe it's a financial struggle. Maybe it's something that you cannot handle on your own. You know what's big in your own life. I don't, but you know what's big. God says, I'll be with you in the small things. I'll work them out for your good. But He also says, not only that, but on the big things, I'll work it all for your good. Love God, and I'll work it out for your good. All these things get me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every event as a Christian, listen, God is not somebody who tries to put things in your life for no reason. Did you know that? God doesn't just do stuff because He wants to. He does stuff to push me to Jesus. Does that make sense? I'm living a Christian life to be pushed closer to Jesus. I love Charles Spurgeon, how he puts it. Sometimes it's like we're in a boat and these waves and these storms just push us closer to the shore. And that shore is my Lord. And that shore is Jesus Christ. And sometimes those waves just beat in and they crash and they just feel so bad, but they push us closer to Jesus. All things work together for my good and for your good if you love God, because He called you to do His work. My situation's not always good, and I'm sure yours isn't either. But I'm promised in this scripture. It says, to those that love God, and to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, I'm promised that I'm benefited because of what I go through. Sometimes it's hard, but the Bible tells me it's a benefit for me to love God. And I want you to understand that it's a benefit that God loves me and I love God. Number two, I want you to go to the book of James. You know, we see in that first scripture that all things work together for our good, and that's a blessing to know, especially in hard times. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. James chapter 2, verse 5, loving God will benefit me for the good, but in this text, loving God will bring me hope for glory. And what I mean by that, it will bring me hope for heaven. As a Christian, I'm saved and I'm forgiven and I'm washed in the precious blood of my Lord, and that gives me the hope that I'm going to heaven one day. Doesn't that just fire you up? And I'm not going to die, I'm not going to go to hell anymore because of what He done on the cross. What He done, how He forgave me when He shed all His blood for the remission of sins. And I'm thankful in this text that we can have hope in glory. James chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath God not chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, here it is, and heirs to the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him. That stipulation right there at the end, you got to catch it. God, everybody don't go to heaven. Man, hey, I feel like we've heard that a lot lately, and that's the truth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that gives me the hope of glory. One day when I die and I lay this life down, it'll be the beginning of my eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. That gives me hope. And when I walk with God, He grows me in that love. The closer I walk with God, the more I love Him. Is that not true? The more I understand the goodness of God and how it's not in my righteousness, it's not in anything I can do in my life, it's off what He done for me on the cross. How He laid His life down and how He rose up again to forgive me and save me from my sins. That gives me the hope of heaven. And the closer I walk with God, the more confidence I gain. The Bible tells me to work out my salvation. That doesn't mean I got to work out and figure out if I'm saved. That means that I work it out like I'm exercising. You know, when you're exercising or you're working out, maybe you got somebody in this room that likes to work out. I do not. Okay, let's get that out there. But when you're working out and you're lifting weights, what happens when you lift weights? It starts to hurt. What, does it not? We talked about this in Sunday school. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But the Bible tells me that all things work together for my good. It also tells me that I'm promised heaven because I love Him, because He saved me from my sins. The Bible says, work out your salvation. I think it's in Philippians 2:12. And when I'm working out, it gets hard and it's a struggle and I'm pushing them weights up. And sooner or later, if I keep going, I'm going to get stronger. If I keep going, if I keep working out, if I keep trusting Jesus and these storms beat on me, but I continue to walk with Him, the Bible tells me I'll have a greater hope for my place in heaven. Not only did Jesus save me and forgive me, He gave me a place with Him. And that place is heaven. It brings me hope. I love that old hymn, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." Man, that just brings a good spirit on this place. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the Bible tells me if I lay my treasures here on earth, it'll be all about earth. But if I lay my treasures in heaven, I'll have that hope of heaven. He forgave me. He saved my soul. Born-again believers in this scripture are heirs to heaven. When you think about that word heirs, let's read the scripture, James 2:5. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised?" I looked up that definition of heir, H-E-I-R, not the one that's on your head, but heir, and that's of royalty. That's what kings and queens get when they're heir to the throne. They get that throne, and that definition would be entitled to receive. It'll get you here in a minute. That definition is, I'm entitled as an heir to receive. Now let's put this in our Christian walk. I'm an heir to the kingdom. I'm entitled to heaven. Does that make sense? I'm an heir not because of me, but because of Jesus. I'm an heir to the kingdom which He has promised. Not only am I entitled, but I thank God that I'm promised by Christ. Entitled to go to heaven because of His work, but I'm promised it because the Bible tells me so. I'm an heir. It brings me hope that nothing will ever separate me from the love of Christ or the love of God which is in Jesus Christ my Lord. Not only we see those two things, but I want to go to the book of John. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. What loving God will do for you. It'll bless you. When you love God, He loves you. And the Bible tells me in that scripture we read earlier, we love Him because He first loved us. Loving God will benefit you for the good. Loving God will bring you that hope for glory. John chapter 14, verse 21. Loving God will begin to show you who God is. You ever just met somebody and you really didn't know how to take them? You didn't know what they did. They were kind of, you didn't really understand how they lived their life from the outside looking in. You didn't know much about them. And once you got to know them, they were a completely different person. And I think about this text, and I think about knowing Jesus. I think about how we're loving God. When I love God, I look at God differently. You see, when I was lost, dying, and going to hell, I looked at God a little bit different than I do now. He wasn't my Savior then. He was somebody I had to go to church for. He was somebody that I came and I sung and I listened and I done all these things to get something out of. But now I got everything I need in the blood of Jesus. And the Bible tells me in this scripture, John 14:21, loving God will begin to show you who God is. Verse 21, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, here it is, and will manifest myself to him. The Bible tells me, if I love God, he'll manifest himself to me. And that would mean he's going to show me who he is. When I start to love God, he begins to show me just exactly who God is. That definition of manifest would be easily understand. Or another translation is obvious. When I start to love God, he shows things to me obviously. You don't have to search for God no more when you love him. Easily seen. Verse 21, it says, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. You remember when you couldn't understand God? I want you to, for just a second, to go back to that time you didn't know Christ. Did you really care about Christ? Okay, I'll speak for myself. No. When I didn't know Jesus, when I didn't know my Lord, I didn't really care if he knew me. And this scripture tells me that once I am a believer, once I'm born again, once I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, he begins to manifest. Or in other words, he begins to show me who he is. And I think about the way that when I got saved, my eyes were opened. Man, my eyes were opened. I can't tell you, it's like night and day when you're saved and when you're lost. And you don't really understand that until you get saved. The Bible tells me that it's like a veil on my eyes. Before I knew Jesus, it was a veil. I couldn't see him even though I spoke his name, even though I knew about him. I didn't know him. And then when I asked him to save my soul and I asked him to forgive my sins, the veil came off and now I see him. And now he makes himself manifest to me every day of my life. The Bible tells me that he that keepeth my commandments, or he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And the question is raised, how do I know I love God? I do what he says. And you may think, JD, that's work salvation. Oh no. Oh no. You see, when I got saved, it was not by my own works. It was by grace. I'm saved through faith, not of my works. It is a gift of God. And Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, the way you know you love me is if you do what I say. I'm not talking about anything that you have to do. I'm talking about the commandments of God that you want to do. We spoke about it this morning. When I got saved, I wanted to start loving God because he first loved me. I want to follow him. I want to get in this word. I want to do what he says. I want to get closer to him because he's the one that saved me. And I get closer to Jesus and he fills me up and he begins to show me who he is. You think about the Pharisees in the Bible. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk about Pharisees, how they were out to get Jesus. They were out to persecute him. They were out to kill him. They were out to destroy him because they didn't want to see him. And I thought about that as we talk about this scripture, make himself manifest. He was in the world walking with these same people. How didn't they know he was the Son of God? Well, you see, the problem was their eyes were blind. It wasn't because he was still doing the miracles in front of them. He was still healing people. The difference is they didn't love God. And the only way I can serve God is if I love God. Does that make sense? The only way I can serve God is if I get real with God. If I get real with Him. If I show Him that I'm not good without Jesus. If I show Him that I can't be saved without Jesus. Because I got real with Him, He got real with me. He will make Himself manifest unto me. If you want to go down that verse in verse 23 of John 14. Once I got real with Him, He got real with me. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And I think about that passage of Scripture in the book of James where it talks about faith and it talks about works. And the Bible tells me that faith without works is dead. And you may say, "J.D., I believe God. Do you love Him? J.D., I believe that He died for me, but do you love Him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus?" That's the only way to love God. Because that veil gets ripped off and you see that darkness that used to be in you and that sin that used to be upon you, and you see the man who hung for you, He bled for you, He died for you, and He forgave everything you ever done. That's how you start loving God. You get saved, you get forgiven, you get washed. And once you get real with God, the Bible tells me He comes upon me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Let's read that verse again in verse 23. "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." Here it is. "And we will come unto him." We, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We will come upon that person when they start to love God. I'm thankful that loving God, doing what He tells me to do, being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, is a benefit to me. It blesses me. And in these Scriptures, the Holy Ghost comes upon me when I start to love God. Not only that, this last Scripture in verse 23, it says He will come upon me, but it also says He stays upon me. Bible tells me He will never leave me and nor forsake me. And this Scripture is another perfect promise that the Bible gives us. "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come upon him and make our abode with him." That word abode, it also translates to "we will stay." We will basically build a house with Him and live with Him. And the Lord of glory, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you love Him and you ask Him to forgive you, He starts a work in your life. He comes on you and then He stays with you the rest of your life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And I wrote this down. Someone who doesn't stay isn't worth very much. I think about times in my life. I go out into the world and you go out into the world and we live a life every day out in the world, and you see people that never stay. Here 1 minute, say they're going to help you, say they're going to do this and do that, and then the next moment they are G-O-N-E gone. Absolutely gone. This world tells me that they're going to leave. The Bible tells me that the Lord's going to stay. That's the difference. The Bible tells me that He's going to come upon me. He's going to stay with me. And if you are somebody in this room that says, "I need somebody that stays," I want to introduce you to the Savior of the world. Introduce you to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who comes on you and He stays with you for the rest of your life. You may even want to push Him out, but He can't go. Because you're washed in the blood of Jesus. The Bible tells me that all things work together for my good. He tells me that He will give me hope for glory. And He tells me that I'm promised that place in heaven. And He tells me that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I want to just kind of ask the question as we wind the service down. We talked about how loving God blesses you. It benefits you. It promises you things. It gives you a hope. It also tells me, He shows me who He is. If He loved me, if He keep my commandments, I will love Him and I will manifest myself unto Him. The question is raised, do you love God? Do you love God? Now, I'm not asking if you come to church. You say, JD, I love God. I come to church. JD, I love God. I give my money. And JD, I love God. I do this. I do that. The Bible doesn't tell me that I love Him because of what I do. It tells me I love Him because He first loved me. So do you love God? Do you love Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all your strength? And to close this morning, the only way to love God is to know God. The only way to serve God in spirit and in truth is if you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you try to do it on your own, I'm telling you, you cannot do it. The world's too big for you and me. The sin of this world, it's been strong enough for thousands of years. Why don't you think it's strong enough for you? Thousands of years, man has been fallen. Man has come short. And the only way to love God the way you're supposed to is know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And so I'll end with this. Loving God will bless you, it will benefit you, it will help you, but do you love God? Do you love Him the way you're supposed to? And if you don't this morning, I want to invite you to Jesus Christ. I'm not really asking you if you want to get right. I'm asking you if you want to get saved. Because the Bible tells me He loves me, or I love Him because He first loved me. So my question, I'll close with this. Do you love God? Is He your Lord? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You this morning that You are the Savior of the world. I thank You, Lord, that You're in this place, and I just pray, God, You'd show up in this time of invitation. Lord, I pray You'd bless the hearer. I pray, Lord, if they don't know You, that they would come to know You and start loving You. And I pray for that one that's backslidden, that they would come back to the cross. Come back to their first love, and they'd just ask You to forgive them and ask You to change them. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.